Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Layup Lines podcast. I'm Michael Chapman, joined as always by Seth Horton and Nick Velasquez. Thanks for being here with us today, as always, guys. So the big news this week for Union Sports: girls basketball team is hosting the South Region. They're the number one seed for the third time in the last 4 years. Chelsea Shumpert is having arguably the best season of anyone in Division II basketball. The girls have a chance to win a national championship this year. They'll have to get past some tough teams like Ashland once they get to the Elite Eight and beyond. But
if they get there, we can't jinx nothing.
Right. Yeah, certainly some tough competition here in the South Region, too, between Florida Southern and
Clark Atlanta. Shouts out back home.
Can't look past Clark Atlanta, and Bria Gaines and Mark Campbell both emphasized that to me yesterday. But
did they actually?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we were in the same position 2 years ago. We were the one seed. We were playing a Tampa team very similar to this Clark Atlanta team, and we lost that game. So we truly can't look past that game. But yeah. Clark Atlanta is a bad team who is just in a worse conference. And so they got to this tournament by winning their conference tournament. But I mean, they're a bad shooting team. They shoot 27% from three and 37% from the field on the year. So it looks like Union certainly is going to be favored in that matchup. But again, you can't take anything for granted. Any team can beat any team any given night.
That is true.
But
yeah.
Second round should be interesting. Honestly, I'm just looking forward to watching the 4-5 matchup if I get a chance to watch that. Embry-Riddle is playing Eckerd, and they played three times this year. They split in the regular season, and then Embry-Riddle knocked Eckerd out of their conference tournament. So that should be a good revenge game. That's the last game Eckerd played, so they're still probably mad about that. So, Seth, you looked like you had something to say.
Nah, I got nothing, man. I don't know what's going on.
I told you. Like,
hey, man. Go Bulldogs.
Go Bulldogs.
Go Bulldogs, indeed. All right. You guys don't want to talk about this.
It's not that I don't want to talk about it. It's that I don't know anything about it. Like, I don't know these teams.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. And to be fair, I haven't kept up with any college basketball this season just because school's been hectic. But, like, you know.
Yeah, no.
If you can't keep up with D1, I'm certainly not keeping up with D2 women's basketball.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I don't know much about any of the teams outside of the Gulf South.
Yeah, really. And that's also where I'm at. Like, I could tell you, like, when we get up to Valdosta or North Alabama or Lee, depending on whoever we meet out of those three, and we will meet one of those three, I'm sure.
We could meet Florida Southern in the final, because Florida Southern's the 2 seed. But
that's fair. But I could tell you how I think we'll fare against them, but that's about it, because all I know right now is the Gulf South Conference.
Yeah, no. I'm just hoping for a North Alabama Union matchup, because we didn't get to see that in the Gulf South Championship. But they had a fantastic regular season series. We beat them on the road.
Beat us on the road.
Yeah, their second best player got hurt, and we were up by 8 with 2 minutes left, but they still came back and beat us on the road. So, I mean, this should be a really interesting game if it comes down to that for the South Region. But
it'll be good, man. It'll be good. No matter who plays, it's going to be a good game, I think.
Oh, I agree. I'm just excited for the whole tournament, man. But, yeah, tonight, Friday night, if you're listening to this on a Friday, the girls play at 5 o'clock. They play Clark Atlanta, and then they'll play, if they win that game, they'll play at 7:30 on Saturday. And then if they win that and move to the championship, that'll be at 7 o'clock on Monday. So make sure to be at Fred DeLay for all of those games, if at all possible.
Chap, are you low energy tonight? You sound low energy to me.
Yeah, I hit a wall like 30 minutes ago. So I'm going to need you guys to.
But sure, that's when you was at Kobo, right?
Yeah, it was.
No, I definitely hit a wall. Something about that fish
net, man. I don't know what it was, but
I'm feeling good, man. I didn't have any homework due today, so I have all the energy I need.
I didn't have any homework.
Please take over.
I don't have any homework due tomorrow, and so I've just been kind of on a, like, airplane mode all day.
Airplane mode.
No, I get
cruise
it, man.
Control. Yeah, that's, cruise that's control. The word I was looking
cruise
for.
Cruise control.
It's an airplane mode. I wasn't getting any messages. Wasn't listening to anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So, Seth, since you've got a lot of energy, I'm going to need you to carry this on that level.
Let's go.
But, so I want to get into the...
Are you texting in the middle of a podcast?
No, I'm hanging up on my mom in the middle of a podcast because she just tried to call and I forgot to turn my phone off. But
honestly, you probably should have answered.
I probably should have.
It would be great radio.
Yeah, no, I just turned my phone off, so that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, that's fine. But all right, what are we talking about? What's next?
I wanted to talk about the half-season 41-game win streak from the top four teams in the Western Conference in the NBA. Rockets are on a 17-game win streak. Warriors are on a 6-game win streak, which is, like, I mean, that almost seems low for the Warriors at this point.
Yeah.
And then the Blazers and the Pelicans have come out of nowhere to take over the 3 and 4 spots in the West. So, I mean,
it's interesting though, because I'm looking at it right now, the win loss columns, and you have Houston, Golden State, who have won 51 and 50 respectively, and then no one has won 40 in the West yet.
Yeah,
which is really weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, the West has two great teams and then 8 good teams, which is crazy.
I wouldn't even go that far. Like, there's some good, they're really good if you think about it. But, I mean, if we look at the East, you wouldn't even see that parity because it's just the level of competition is just not there.
The East is garbage.
Yeah, you've got the Raptors and the Celtics who have, 45 wins or so.
I mean, some of the stars in the East went to the West. That does not make sense to me.
The Paul Millsaps of the world. The superstars.
Melo, Paul George.
Yeah.
All went to the West.
Yeah. I mean, the East is absolute garbage. We've known that for a
Somehow
couple years.
Milwaukee's dropped the 8th seed right now.
I don't know what is going on with Milwaukee.
A lack of a head coach is probably a big kicker.
They've got, for sure, a top 4 talented roster in the East.
I really don't think they should have fired Jason Kidd
either.
Really? I don't.
Not mid-season or just not at all?
Not at this point. Jason Kidd is one of the smartest players I've ever watched. And, I saw what he was doing coaching, and I didn't think he deserved to get fired. At least mid-season. Yeah. Maybe after the season, but not mid-season. Yeah.
That's fair.
Just let it play out and see how he does when he gets to the playoffs or whatever.
And your star player wanted him to stay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a good look for
and
them.
And Giannis's, assists and passing production have gone down since Kidd left, too, which is really interesting, which isn't surprising either. But I thought the Bucks, when they fired Jason Kidd, should have just thrown all of their money at Fizz.
Coach Fizz, yeah.
But...
Oh,
Fizz is with ESPN now, though. So
Fizz got did wrong by the Grizz.
I agree. I think they should have traded Gasol to honestly in that relationship.
Yeah.
And plus, they're in the middle of tanking right now, anyway. So there's no point in keeping.
I don't think that they think of it as the tanking. I think they think of it as we were struggling at the time that they fired Coach Fizz.
That's fair. That's fair.
They didn't think they were taking. But right now they're dead last in the league.
Oh wow, you're right.
Yeah.
They're the only team who hasn't won 19 games.
Their whole team was hurt though.
Also true.
Yeah. And Conley's been hurt all year pretty much.
Yeah. Chandler Parsons can't get off the IR.
Yeah.
Chandler Parsons was constantly hurt before they ever signed him. They knew it was a risk going into that contract.
I thought he was doing well with the Rockets. I thought this was a good pickup for them.
Yeah, but he got hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt all the time. Yeah.
Tyreke Evans has been good, but...
Now he's hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies have just been a mess this year.
Yeah, no, they can't win.
Yeah. But
no, it happens. But yeah, Houston, Golden State, obviously, we knew they were going to be great coming into the season. Portland has been interesting to me, mostly because of Damian Lillard. Just taking over entire games.
He just became the first Trailblazer ever to average 35 over the course of a 10-game stretch, which is extremely impressive. You think about like you have a 37-point night. That should be an outlier, but that's just been the norm for Dame.
I thought you were going to say when you think about the players that used to play for Portland, I was going to ask you to name any of them.
Oh, no.
Like maybe Bill, maybe Brandon Roy, but I don't know about Brandon Roy averaging 35 over 10 games.
I'm not talking about the fact that he's the first player in Portland history to do that is impressive. Just doing that is impressive.
Yeah. Right. That's right. Fair.
No, I saw a stat that he's averaging more points than Steph, KD, and LeBron over this like 10-game stretch. He's averaging more threes than Steph and Klay. His field goal percentage is better than LeBron and KD. Like, it was something crazy I saw.
Oh, yeah. I mean, over the last 10 games, he's just playing out of his mind. Damian Lillard and Anthony Davis have been the two best players in the league.
I've been watching Lillard highlight reels the last couple of days, and the kid's on fire. Like, he's just... Yeah. Like, you remember...
See what he did to the Lakers?
He went, like, 8 for 11, I think, from three. And, like, you think that's just open shots or whatever, open three-pointers. He's taken, like...
Deep, the dribble.
Yeah, yeah, it's he honestly looks like Steph Curry in his unanimous MVP season.
The last 10 games, you could argue that he's looked even more impressive than that.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
All right, Jeff.
That was a...
You took it a little too far with that one.
You could make the argument.
No, you could make the argument.
No one would listen to you.
Yeah, it's okay. Not even valid.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said anything.
It's fine.
Seth, you can take over the podcast.
He has been phenomenal, though.
It's been a comparable comparison, I think. Huh? I think it's been a comparable comparison. I don't think you could say that Lillard's been better. I think you can say he's been close to that level, like bumping up against it.
Yeah.
But to say he's been better than Curry was in that unanimous MVP season, like that was a historic season, man.
Yeah,
that was insane.
That's probably the best like full season I've watched since I've been into basketball. Which, granted, that's only about 8 or 9 years at this point. But
well, that was also the best player efficiency season of all time too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
I didn't realize that. Wow.
It's insane.
So really, man. it was the best individual performance ever.
Wow.
If we're just going to be honest here.
Yeah.
So no, I'm going to say Dame has not been on that level, no, but he's been close.
I meant the last 10 games.
Yeah. Like, no, I know. Isolated, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get what you're saying. And he has been crazy efficient. He's been crazy good. It's been really impressive, and I really want to see this keep going because I think people have been sleeping on Dame for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people, everyone agrees, like, he's really good, but I think he just doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Right. People don't bring his name up when they're talking about the best point guards in the league. They talk about Steph. They talk about Westbrook. They even talk about Kyrie, but Dame's name never is mentioned in those conversations, and it should be. I think he's earned that. He hasn't had the playoff success yet. I mean, he's had some good playoff series, but he hasn't gotten deep into the playoffs just yet.
He'll get there for sure. And after LaMarcus Aldridge left, he carried that team. Granted, they weren't great, but he was the only bright spot.
Against the Rockets a couple years
CJ,
ago.
You can't count out CJ. CJ is.
I'm talking about just the season immediately preceding.
CJ was there too.
I know he was there, but I don't think he had broken out yet at that point.
CJ broke out
in the Memphis series, the last series of LaMarcus Aldridge's Portland career. I say that's when he broke out.
Okay.
That's probably fair. I wasn't keeping close track.
And he's been on kind of a steady incline since then too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he's really good. He's super solid. And watching him and Dame play together is just exciting basketball.
Oh, yeah. If only they had anyone else. Or they have Yusuf Nurkic in the post.
Yusuf isn't out,
behind
amazing.
Those three guys, they don't have anyone on that team. So the fact that Dame...
Don't sleep on Evan Turner.
The fact that Dame and CJ have carried this team to a third-place spot right now in the West is really impressive to me.
Yeah, it really is, especially not playing any defense at all.
But I think we do need to talk about the man child that Anthony Davis is becoming.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
When DeMarcus Cousins got hurt, I was like, okay, well, now we have our eight playoff teams in the West because the Pelicans are going to fall off. They're going to fall off the edge, and they're going to win, like, 37 games this year. But, I mean, they've won 38 games now already because Anthony Davis has just carried the team on his back. In addition to Rubio and
Drew Holiday. And Rondo.
Rondo.
Yeah. Which is really nice to see Rondo playing well with the team.
Yeah.
Like
he's been kind of bouncing around and
yeah.
Glad he finally got it figured out.
Yeah.
But I'm also glad Drew Holiday's been consistent cuz I've always known that since he was at UCLA. I've always known that he's had talent, but he's like another Chandler Parsons. Like he would get hurt a lot and that would make him inconsistent, but like he's starting to get consistent again. I just saw him the other night put up like 37 against, it might have been Dallas, but 37 in the league is still 37. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Anthony Davis is
Anthony Davis is
starting to get on a whole nother level, though.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Do you think any of these three teams in the West besides the Warriors, do you think any of them could beat the Warriors in a seven-game series?
Houston could.
Houston, definitely. I think OKC can. They're up. They've beat them. Are they tied 2-2 right now in the regular season?
I think they're up 2-1.
2-1, right?
Season, yeah.
But over the course of a seven-game series in the playoffs?
I think they're being outscored by about 15 points by the Warriors in those three games. Because they got blown out one game, and then they won two close ones.
I'd love to see an OKC-Golden State round one matchup. To be honest, because
I don't know if I want to go and stay in the round in the first round.
But if you don't catch them in the first round, I don't know. I just imagine you guys would probably catch Houston, and I don't think you guys could beat Houston.
I think I definitely want Portland or the Pelicans in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, any team 3-10 could be playing any team 3-10 in the first round at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could. The Thunder could still theoretically jump up to the 3 seed and be playing like the Clippers or the Nuggets or something in the first round.
If I was OKC, I'd probably want the Pels in the first round because if you played Portland with what's his name that got hurt? Roberson?
Yeah.
With him hurt, you don't have anybody that's just going to lock up Dame or CJ or like really slow them down anyway.
Yeah. Well, is Robert unless out for the year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, unless you try to throw PG at one of them, but
oh, PG is definitely getting on one of them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
PG will probably be on McCollum in that series.
Nah, I'd say you might go on Dame.
Really?
Russ on McCollum. And then whoever else on
Adams.
Evan Turner.
Oh, Evan Turner. Put PJ.
Ferguson.
Why can't I think of his name? Not Ferguson. Melo. Put Melo on him. Evan Turner can't score.
Yeah, but Melo's going to have to guard the four, though.
Melo's going to have to guard who?
The four.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got one of our wings. He's not going to guard the four. So
that's fair. Yeah. And then you have Steven Adams on Nurkic.
That should be a fun little back and forth.
Yeah, that should be good.
That would be a fun series, actually.
Yeah.
But.
But I would feel more comfortable if I were OKC to go up against the Pels because they don't have anyone on the perimeter that you really have to worry about that's not named Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but what about the Timberwolves, guys? They're sixth in the West right now. Jimmy Buckets just went down for the year a couple weeks ago, or down four, at least until the playoffs. And so
probably for the year.
If they make it to the playoffs, he could be back because it was the same injury Charlie had, I think, where Charlie came back in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, so. But Charlie recovers like a freak of nature.
Jimmy Buckets is also a freak of nature, so
yeah.
That's fair. That's fair.
But is there any chance to you guys that the Timberwolves just drop out of the playoffs? I personally think they will.
I don't.
I don't think
like,
they will.
They still have Cat. And Andrew Wiggins, like I feel like that's enough to sustain them for the second half of the year.
Because like, who's going to knock them out? You have the Denver. Jazz. You think Jazz?
The Jazz or the Nuggets. I think the Clippers and the T-Wolves are going to be on the outside looking in.
I think the Clippers will. I'm not sure that Denver or the Jazz necessarily will knock out many. But
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe.
I just think
maybe like you. They did just sign Derrick Rose.
Yeah, they did sign Rose. Tom Thibodeau is as happy as he's ever been.
He's just getting a Bulls reunion.
I look for him to sign Joakim Noah in the offseason.
Yeah, probably, honestly.
I'm dying, man. Look. You know that Tibbs is about to start Derrick Rose over Jeff T. and play this man 48 minutes.
I really hope he doesn't do that. Like, that would just... You got to fire Tibbs if he's doing that. Yeah. Like, Derrick Rose is not the same player.
Rose is going to get significant minutes, I think. I think he'll be on the court anytime Teague isn't on the court. Oh, man. And I think Teague is probably going to be playing about 32 minutes a game now that they have
Rose. He's definitely going to gobble up all of Tyus Jones' minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, like, absolutely.
That's absolutely going to happen.
And Tyus Jones hasn't been playing bad this year, especially the last 15 games or so.
Look, Tyus Jones is a serviceable backup.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Especially on a team like Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't know what Derrick Rose thinks he's about to do on this team. I really don't.
I think he's just getting the check. Like, that's...
I hope that's
what his goal now, just collect checks until he's finally just out of the league. But
I don't know why he didn't retire after his stint in New York. I mean, he played in New York. He missed...
Okay, to be fair, when he goes to the Cavs, you got to think, with all of the guys they had on the Cavs, there's a shot. Granted, it did not work at all.
There's a shot for them to win a championship.
Or at least get to the finals.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, there's still that chance. But Derrick Rose isn't on that team anymore. But if I'm Derrick Rose, I still take that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at the very least, this is an opportunity for me to prove that I can still do some of the things I did back in my MVP season.
Right. But why does he take, like, what was it, a month and a half off for personal reasons?
Because he's having he talked about this. He's going through some psychological stuff with all of the injuries that he's piled up. It takes a real toll on you mentally.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this could be a good fit. Obviously, some familiarity there, certainly with the system and with a couple of the players on that team.
Doesn't Derrick Rose and Jimmy, like, hate each other? Like, I thought they really, like, did not get along in Chicago.
I think Jimmy Butler just hated playing for the Bulls.
Also possible.
He didn't get along with even, like, Dwayne Wade when he was there. So, I think that was just a product of Jimmy Butler didn't like the city of Chicago, and Jimmy Butler didn't like playing for the Bulls.
I don't know that he didn't like the city of Chicago, per se, but I think he definitely didn't like the organization.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was a bad situation.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bulls have been in turmoil ever since, like, really since Derrick Rose tore his ACL first time.
The first time.
Yeah. They didn't know they were in turmoil yet, but gosh darn it, they were.
That poor child.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris Dunn is going to save the day.
Chris Dunn has really stepped up this season.
He has. He has been stepping up.
Okay, I want to take a moment to reflect on mine and Seth's most improved player picks, and then Nick's most improved player pick. What, Mike Conley, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I recall, you called both of our picks stupid.
Okay, but
you
but laughed. I don't know if he called yours stupid. He definitely called mine
stupid.
He
laughed at mine. I know that much.
You both laughed at mine.
That's
true. Okay. We still laugh at mine.
Okay, but. Do either of them have any chance to win most improved?
Clint Capella is the favorite for most improved right now.
Clint Capella catches lobs all day. That's all he does.
That's gets not rebounds.
All he gets
and a couple blocks.
He gets boards and He gets blocks on the defensive end, but he's just a good defender.
Too. He's a good pick and roll guy. He's a pretty good defender, and he gets boards. Like he's
and he has
he's most improved because of the system that he's in right now.
And a half this season.
That's like we were talking about this earlier today. Like we were talking about Clint Capela versus Andre Drummond, and like the difference between the two, and being relatively the same as far as like impactfulness on their team goes. The difference between the two is that Andre Drummond has a lot more post moves and finesse moves than Clint Capela does, because Clint Capela just dunks the ball
once or twice.
Yeah, he can dribble once or twice to back someone down into the paint, and that's about it. Like, he can't face up at all.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond, like, he backs people down mostly, but he has the ability to face up and also, like, drop dimes off to somebody.
And Clint Capela is not a liability from the free throw line. He's not great.
That's fair.
But there's not this hack a Clint or anything.
Yeah.
But I still think I'm taking Andre Drummond.
I agree.
Over Clint, though.
Is that
like at least right now,
or is that if you had to pick one to go forward to build a team around?
Both.
Or really?
Yeah,
both. You see that. Because we forget Andre Drummond is still 24 right now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I feel like he's been great for 5 years.
If I had to pick one right now, I think I would probably go with Andre Drummond. But if I had to pick one, like, going forward to build my team around, I think just because Clint Capela is a younger player, and I don't think
he's more athletic
prime yet, I think I'd go with Capela.
Andre Drummond is a beast. You guys know this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Andre
Drummond. Like, he's getting 24 and 22 rebounds. You guys know this, right?
Yes.
And Clint is getting 12 and 10. We know this, right?
He's also playing about 60% of the minutes that Andre Drummond's playing. Clint Capela is only playing like 24 minutes.
I'm just going to put this on record. Okay, so I'm agreeing with you about taking Andre Drummond over Clint Capela.
Okay, but like, who is on Andre Drummond's team?
Right now or all season?
Right now.
Right now.
Who's on Andre Drummond's team?
Blake Griffin and Blake Griffin.
Yes.
Reggie Bullock.
Stanley Johnson. Ish Smith is starting a point
guard. Hey, Ish Smith, my boy.
We go to Houston. They got two MVPs, basically. Chris Paul is basically an MVP. James Harden. They got Trevor Ariza.
Ryan Anderson.
Ryan Anderson is spreading the floor.
Really well, I wanted to point out three things right now.
Yeah.
Nick just said that the Rockets have two MVPs when, in fact, they have zero MVPs.
Okay, I said and Chris Paul is basically MVP, and James Harden is going to win
James
it this
Harden's
year.
James Harden's going to win it this year.
And then Ryan Anderson hasn't played for like 10 games. He's hurt.
Regardless, he's been healthy the rest of the time, right?
He's been like half hurt a lot of the year, but
He's been all right.
But he's been in the game.
When he's been in the game, he has played well spreading the floor.
Yes. Andre Drummond doesn't even have anything close to that.
Oh, I agree, but that means that they're built around, like, Andre Drummond is the focal piece of the Pistons, and certainly was before Blake Griffin got there. And the numbers this year, I don't know what the numbers this year are. I think Andre Drummond's numbers are a little better, but some of that production is a product of him being the focal point, I think.
Okay, let me ask you this then. If you swap both of them, Clint goes to Detroit. I don't even know what team he's on. Andre goes to Houston. Is Clint putting up the same numbers that Andre Drummond is?
No.
No, thank you. Case closed.
I don't know that Andre Drummond puts up the same numbers. Clint does, though. I think they both work for their system.
Okay, if Andre Drummond goes to Houston.
If Andre Drummond goes to Houston and is playing the same amount of minutes as Clint Capela.
Okay, so Clint Capela right now is going 14 and 11. 14 points, 11 rebounds.
Wait, how many minutes a game?
Let me see. It's not, like, I can't find that stat on here.
He's playing about 26 minutes a game, I believe.
Probs.
Well, I don't
know. It looks like, no, he's playing 27 minutes.
Okay.
And Andre Drummond is 15 and 15 right now at 33 minutes a game. So, not a huge minutes difference, but a pretty decent one.
That's enough for if Clint Capela was also playing the same amount of minutes,
also
his points would be a little higher and his rebounds would be a little lower.
Also, Andre Drummond is grabbing or putting up 3 assists a game, 3.3 assists. Clint Capela is like almost one. Yeah. Almost one assist.
Yeah. I agree right now, Andre Drummond. I would take Andre Drummond a little bit above Clint Capela. But like to build a team around, Clint Capela is so young and he's improved every year he's been in the NBA.
They're a year apart.
He's playing with James Harden and Chris Paul. Do you know how much attention that both of those guys get? Just one of those guys gets? A lot. Clint Capela might not even be on the scouting report because they're so worried about James Harden and Chris Paul.
If the third best player isn't on a team's scouting report, there's something wrong with how you're scouting that team.
But
that could be why the Rockets are on a 17-game win streak right now.
But I'm saying, like, I don't think you understand how much attention that those two get. Because if you stop Chris Paul and James Harden, which is nearly impossible, Clint Capela gets no buckets except maybe a couple putbacks.
Let me throw these numbers at you.
Okay.
The Rockets this season are...
Yeah, they're 33-1 when all three of them play.
When all three of them play. And Clint Capela has a top 10 PER in the NBA.
All right.
Clint Capela has been more than James Harden or Chris Paul even. Their winning percentage is highest when Clint Capela plays.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not at all trying to say that Clint Capela is the best player on the team, but Clint Capela does things that you don't see on the defensive end and even on the offensive end that help his team win, which I don't think Andre Drummond does as many of those things. I don't think the Rockets would be in first place in the West if Andre Drummond had been on their team instead of Clint Capela.
Well, I think there would have been like some ego stuff and some chemistry stuff because Clint knows his role and Andre Drummond is more of a superstar than Clint. So I think there would be some chemistry stuff. But if they had figured that out, like let's say they came into the season, everything's cool, I really don't think it'd even be close.
Okay. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Andre Drummond has a higher PER than Clint Capela right now.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Okay.
It looks like.
Okay. I'll concede this one to you then, Nick. You win. That was one of my biggest arguments was the PER. So, okay. You win this round, Nick.
What? Where is Drummond on the PER?
Geez, I was just looking at it. He's like two spots up from Clint, so it's not like huge.
But
it's like
up there.
26 and 28. To be fair, the people with the highest PER are like people who've only played a couple of minutes a game. So like this is an unfair thing. But also, both of those guys play a chunk of minutes. So regardless of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But all right. We were going to get into some NFL stuff, guys. I think we'll save that for next week or the week after because we're already running.
Yeah, we did a lot of NBA today.
Yeah, we had a rabbit trailed with that Andre Drummond debate. I'll put a poll up or something on Facebook and
let's do
let
a poll.
The fans decide.
Let's do a poll.
We'll do a poll.
All seven of them.
Not all seven of them. You know only four of them are going to actually respond.
Are they? Do we have a Facebook?
I'm going to respond, yeah.
Do we have a Facebook? Or is we just put on Cardinal and Cream? Okay.
As long as I can talk Allie and Matana into doing that for me.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Do not tell them who to vote for because we both know they have no idea who we're talking about.
I'll tell them to vote for Clint Capela. All right. So check out that poll. Should be posted about 5 minutes after the Layup Lines podcast is. Appreciate it, guys. Tune in next week for another episode.
How long was that?